But you know, I'm not going to be outdone with that, because my father, a Scotsman, he served in the First World War. Right? Amen. Amen. My oldest brother, Robert, he served in the Second World War. My brother John was in the Royal Navy, all over the world, in the Royal Navy on destroyers or whatever. My brother David was in the Army. Of course, then there was Jim and Miller, that's me, and Duncan. We weren't in the forces. But I'll tell you what happened. After the war, because we were grown up and so on, what they had to do in the UK was build the country again. Build the country. And so what they did, what they needed coal for the steel mills, to fire the steel mills, to produce the steel, to build the country. And so Jim and yours truly and Duncan, we worked in the coal mines. Yeah? Left the school at 15. Went to work in the coal mines. Now, having said that, I use the good old King James Bible. And I hear people that claim to be very educated today say, oh, I can't understand this. It's too archaic. It's too archaic. I left school when I was 15, and I understand the language of the King James Bible perfectly. Perfectly. So, where did I get my education? But that, anyway, I'm going off on tangents here. I just didn't want to be outdone with those patriotic songs. So, we're going to continue then with the study of Saul, who became Paul, and we're going to read in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Oh, by the way, if you got your arithmetic there, there were 6 sons. There was also 5 daughters. 11 of us. And their parents. We lived in a 1-bedroom house. Yeah? You hear them speaking about poverty and so on. Oh, there's 5 of us and we've only got 2 bedrooms. There was 11 of us. We only had 1 bedroom. So we'll just leave it there. Acts chapter 9. I could go on and on and on and on, but we'll just get back to the scriptures. Acts 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, which, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight, and forthwith arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. And their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. They sent him home to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, were multiplied. And the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. So we're going to pick up where we left off with Saul of Tarsus. The first thing I'd like to speak about is his conviction. His conviction. How the Lord was working conviction into this man's life. We suggested, and remember, it was only a suggestion. And don't go back and say Miller Thompson believed that that young man in the gospel was Saul. Don't do that. You know, but if you do want to say it, don't mention my name. So, anyway, the young man left the Lord, and it says that he went away sorrowful. And you know, Mark's gospel adds a lovely little touch. It says that Jesus, looking on him, loved him. Jesus, looking on him, loved him. He loved him, but he let him go. He let him go. I wonder if the Lord in his omniscience knew, I'm going to meet you again, and you're going to be a very different person. But be that as it may, I'm not trying to build my case. I've left that behind. But he went away sorrowful. Then I think there was another point of conviction, as was suggested in the previous lesson. At the time of Stephen, when they were disputing with Stephen, they of Cilicia, the group from Cilicia, which was Saul's home province, were disputing with Stephen. And it says in the context there that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen spoke. And I think that spoke to Saul. That Here's a man who's a nobody, and here's all us educated people, and we can't hold a candle to him and his knowledge of the scriptures. And so I'm sure there was conviction there. There was conviction there too. And there was also conviction, I think, in after days. When Stephen was stoned, and the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And how Stephen kneeled down. He kneeled down in the presence of them all. And he looked up to heaven. And he said, "Lord, lay not this sin against them. Don't charge this sin against these people. Lord, forgive them." That must have spoke to Saul as well. He was stoning him, and he's asking God to show mercy and forgiveness to us. What kind of a spirit is this? What kind of a spirit is this man have? And so, conviction was building. And there's a word in our story in Acts 9 as well. For the Lord says to him, "Look, Saul," the Lord from heavenly glory is speaking to him, "it's hard for you to kick against the goads." And we've often been told what that illustration is like. It's where the ox is pulling the plough. And there were goads, nails. There were nails. And when the ox was stubborn and wanted to resist, it would kick back. It would kick back. But all it would do, it would put its leg or its hoof into the nails, and it would just make it even worse. And the Lord said to Saul, "Saul, you're like that. You're kicking against the convictions that I'm working in your heart." So Saul was being convicted as the Lord was leading him along. And then, of course, praise the Lord, after conviction came conversion. After conviction came conversion. But it was quite a program. It was quite a process that Saul was going through. And as we read the chapter that we read now, it says Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. This polite young man, he now became a persecutor of the Christians. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. And he wants letters to Damascus from the high priest to go and bring the Christians in Damascus, to bring them back to Jerusalem. He became a persecutor, a blasphemer, and a murderer before his conversion. He was resisting the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, in my life as a young man, I was saved when I was 16, but I resisted the Spirit before that. I knew the way of salvation, but I resisted it, not to the extent that Paul did, but there was a day came when the Spirit broke me down and I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. He became a persecutor, but his conviction was followed by conversion. Now, I've often said this, that without conviction, there's no conversion. There has to be conviction of sin. If I don't know that I'm a sinner bound for hell, it's very unlikely that I'll ask the Lord for salvation. There has to be a gospel presented, bring me under conviction by the Holy Spirit, John 16. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And then that's what produces conversion in a person's life. So I can look at my life, think about it, yes, I knew the conviction of the Spirit, and I knew a place and a time where I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Saviour. Saul had that experience now in Acts chapter 9. Have you had an experience like that? I have. Not as dramatic as Paul. Not as dramatic, but nonetheless, just as real, just as real. When I was 16 years old, and I became a Christian then, I was born in a Christian home, but I wasn't a Christian because I was born in a Christian home. I had to experience salvation for myself. It's an individual matter. It's not what your parents believe, it's what do you believe? What do you believe? And so, here we see Paul having this Damascus road experience. Verse 3 tells us, he saw a light. He saw a light. Verse 4, he heard a voice. He heard a voice, a light from heaven. He hears the voice. And he fell to the earth. And he heard the voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? A voice from heaven and a great light. And Saul's cast down. He probably falls off his horse, trembling and astonished. Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? And what does the voice say to him? The voice says, I am Jesus. What? That person that I met on the dusty road in heavenly glory. That person that we crucified is in heaven and he's speaking to me with a voice telling me who he is. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? He's broken down. He's a broken man now, under conviction, submission, submissive. The Lord says, go into the city, and it shall be told you what you'll do. You know, this light that Saul saw, what was it? It tells us here that it was a light from heaven. A light from heaven. Acts 22 and 6, when he's given that recount to the Jewish leaders in Acts 22 and 6, he said it was a great light, a great light. And when he's before King Agrippa, giving his testimony in Acts 26 and verse 13, he says, and it was at noonday when the sun was shining, it says there was a light above the brightness of the sun. Boy, heavenly glory was shining down on Saul, and it so much so that it blinded him. And then that was Saul's salvation experience. That was Saul's salvation experience that day on the dusty road. Have you had that experience of conversion? Not as dramatic as Saul, but still real and effectual. That's my first thing I want to make sure for each one of us today. That we can look back to a time when we experienced that. And when Paul was writing later on in one of his epistles, he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Paul experienced that. I experienced that. Many here experienced that. Have you experienced that? that you're living a new life in Christ. Now, I want to show you for a little while some of the things in our story that show that Paul was now totally different. And we'll just go through them one by one. I won't tell you how many I have, because if I tell you how many I have, and if I've reached 16, the point 16, you say, good, he's only got two more to go. No, I'm not. I'm just going to do them one by one, and then you won't know. The first thing that it says about him in his new life now, when the Lord tells Ananias to go and speak to him, the Lord says to Ananias, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. That's where he is. And what is he doing? The Lord says, for behold, he prayeth. He's praying. He's not saying his prayers. He's praying. He's praying. That's a new thing for him. I like, you know, when you get the word behold in the Bible, it means pay attention. Pay attention. And what the Lord says to Ananias, behold, pay attention to this. This man is praying. This man is praying. He's the man, in verse 1, that was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He's praying. He's praying. That's a change in his life. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. It takes the new life in Christ for a person to pray. I could teach a parrot to say a prayer, but I can't teach a parrot to pray. See the difference? You can memorize a little prayer. That's not what Saul was praying to the Lord for help and for guidance. Lord, what do you want me to do? How is my prayer life? I struggle with my prayer life. I can come up with, as soon as I start to pray, I think, oh, I wonder if I've left the stove on. You know that, how it works like that? I better put the dog out. I don't have a dog, but you know what I mean. You just come up with all these excuses. It's a hard thing to pray, but get into it. Get into prayer and see how the Lord works in your prayer life. It's real. It's real. And hopefully, it's real in your life. And it's real in my life too. The second thing, when Ananias is finally persuaded to go, down to verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. Brothers, I like that. This man who was a blasphemer and a persecutor, the humble Christian Ananias puts his hands on him and calls him a brother. Brother Saul. Brother Saul, you are now a member of the family of God throughout the whole world. Brother Saul. You know, it's a great thing. It's a great thing, beloved, that just a wee practical touch here. We come to Myrtle Beach. We meet people here. Most of you that probably have never known, and we just feel a bond. There's a bond there. Why is there a bond there? Because we belong to the same family. We belong to the family of God. That little hymn that we were afraid to sing before, because it was too Pentecostal, we can sing it now. Yeah? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Yeah? And I really am. The Lord, some people that I know are amazed at the things that I can do, not that I can do, but the things that I experience because I'm a Christian and I'm a part of this universal family that belongs to the Lord. And so Ananias wanted Saul to know that. He said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. Brother Saul. The third thing that he said to him, in the same verse, or the third thing that happened to him, verse 17, we'll read it, follow along. Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of this. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, you got the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a test. Paul says in Romans 8, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So when you became a Christian, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But there's a word in Ephesians 5, in verse 18, which is a challenge for every one of us. Paul says to the Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's possible to have a spirit-filled life, to serve the Lord. Can I get more of the Holy Spirit? No, but the Holy Spirit can get more of you. That's the difference. Yeah? That the things of your life that are hindering the work of the Spirit, you've got to get rid of them. You've got to get rid of them and make more room for the Holy Spirit. The Lord said, what was that hymn we used to sing? Emptied that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand. So there's one of the blessings that Saul got, was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm working on that. I'm a wee bit older than most of you here. But I want to live a spirit-filled and a spirit-controlled life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, the fourth one, verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received his sight, and forthwith arose and was baptized. That word forthwith means at once. He received his sight and at once arose and was baptized. Now, Saul was baptized as a believer. The experience he had on the Damascus Road was the experience of his salvation or his conversion. And after that, he's baptized with water, by immersion, baptized as a believer. I don't think there's anything in the New Testament as an unbaptized believer. There's only one, and that was the thief on the cross. And as we heard this morning, his hands and his feet were nailed to the cross. But many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And Saul here is baptized. I can remember the night I was baptized. And you know, that was one of the happiest experiences in my life. I knew that I was following the Lord in obedience by going through the waters of baptism. And Saul, the great man that he was, the apostle to the Gentiles, he never said, well, I'm too big for this. I'm too big for this to be baptized. And no, immediately he was baptized. And lovingly and kindly, I'd say this today. If you're a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've never been baptized, you should take that step in obedience to the Lord. I don't think I grew spiritually. I was about a year between my conversion and my baptism. I don't know why they kept us waiting that long, but the elders were very, very wise, weren't they? Yeah. And so, but the joy of the Lord to know, assure, and I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, it's a biblical truth that I hold very, very strongly to. For a person who's a believer to be baptized by immersion, to go on in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Saul was baptized as a believer, and it shows forth the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The next thing it says about him, it says that he was strengthened. He was strengthened. And we get that in verse 19. He was strengthened. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And in verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength. Paul says in some place, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's too many weak Christians around. Why are we so weak? Because we're not committed our life seriously to the things of God. That's why we're weak. Paul was strengthened, and he preached in the synagogues that Jesus was the Christ. Go in for to be strong. I know there's such a thing as being weak, but don't dwell on, oh, I'm just a wee weak Christian. No, be a strong Christian. Be strong. The Lord gave the servants 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. The problem with the man with the 1 talent, he didn't use it. He probably said, what's the use? He got 5, he got 2, I've only got 1, I'm just not going to do anything. No, I'm only a person of 1 talent. That's why I try harder. Because I want to serve the Lord, and I want to be strong in my service for the Lord. And then the last point, he was with the disciples. And I'm going to read some of the verses for that. Verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. He was with the disciples. And then go down to verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he wanted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. He's a persecutor. Be careful. Be careful. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And then verse 28, and he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. The last point then, what is it? That if you're a Christian, you should make sure that you are a member of a local testimony of God's people. I tell you, if you don't do that, your life will be weak and it'll be cold. I remember, because we worked in the coal mines, we had coal fires in Scotland for to heat with. And there was a person who wasn't coming out to the meetings. And one of the elders, he was a kind elder, he went to him and sat at the side of the fire beside him, and he didn't say anything, but he took the tongs that were at the fireplace, and he just took the tongs and he lifted one coal out of the fire and he set it by its side, just out the fire. And because he was doing this, the man, of course, that he was visiting was watching this as well. And it wasn't long until that piece of coal had lost its glow. It became grey, and then it became cold. What happened? Because it was taken out of the fire, that place of warmth, the place of warmth. And that's what happens when a person who should be fellowshipping in a local church, that they're away, taken up with other things, and their life becomes cold. Saul wasn't like that. They read here that Saul was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. He was a part of the fellowship. He shared in the privileges, and he also shared in the responsibilities as well. And thus far then, that's the story of Saul. How about you? How about me? Are we saved? Are we baptized? Are we strong? Are we associated with a fellowship of God's people? May the Lord bless his word to us for his name's sake. Our Father, we thank thee for our time together today. And we pray that you will bless the word to our hearts, given in simplicity. Father, we pray that it might speak to us. We're not trying to be judgmental, because we're far removed from that. And so we just pray that we might be a help and a blessing to each one here today, as we give thanks now for thy goodness to us, in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. Amen.